Well, good morning, this beautiful day. Well, it's the day the Lord has made, right? Amen. Now, as we look out there, we see what God's done for us. How many here love God? Amen. If you love God, you should desire to be with God. If you love God, you should desire to please God. If you love God, you should want to share your innermost thoughts with God. Now, how many of you are married? If you're married, how many of you love your spouse? Oh, good, my wife. Talk to you later. But good, my wife raised her hand. That's a good thing. Yeah. How many of you got poked in the side? You better raise your hand. There you go. Well, if you love your spouse, you should desire to be with your spouse. If you love your spouse, you should desire to please your spouse. If you love your spouse, you should want to share your thoughts, your dreams, everything about what you want to see in the future with your spouse. Talking and being with her, she will give you joy as she received that same joy from you. As you are one flesh, it should be exactly this way. Now today we start a series on prayer. Prayer is the ordained way for God to meet with us. It's the ordained way of conversing with us. It's His ordained way of showing how close He desires to be with us and how close He is to us. Praying and seeing God answer gives us joy as we see that God cares for us. As Mo just sang, His eye is on a sparrow. And are we not worth far more than a few sparrows? God wants to be with us. He wants to share with us. He wants to converse with us. He wants that fellowship and worship. And when we pray and see God answer, He gives us joy as we see His love spread on us. If you say you love your wife and never spend time with her, never talk with her, never desire to be with her, never to share with her, how are you showing love to her? Can you then complain if she's a little bit cold to you? And yet many treat God in the very same way. Yes, I love God, but I'm just too busy to pray. I'm just too busy to be with Him. I'm too busy to meet with Him. Try that with your wife, especially as you're playing video games at the time. That wouldn't work with you, would it, Mary? Now, there are many types of prayer. Today, we look at the basic attitudes of prayer. How should we approach a holy God? What does God expect from us? And what can we expect from that God? Let us look at Jesus' teaching on prayer. This is an excellent opportunity to see how to get prayer answered by the one who answers prayer. I mean, the fix is in right here. If we do it His way, we'll receive the answers He wants to give us. Our church, our families, ourselves, every one of us want to know how to please the one who has done so much for us and to receive the abundant life today that He promises. Well, we're going to see today exactly how to do that. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. You're looking at verses 5 to 8. So Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5, we read this. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace. It is such a privilege to know that the Almighty, Immortal, Eternal, Creator God of the universe desires us to come in fellowship with Him, desires our worship, desires to hear our praise. And Lord, we're so thankful to be able to give it. And Lord, we're so thankful to know that You hear us, that You will reward us openly, that You want to give us the things that we need in this life, that we may serve You and have our joy complete. Lord, teach us Your perfect way. Teach us exactly how to pray. Let us learn from Your word how to receive the joy that You so much want to give us. And then let us return that joy in praise of Your holy name and give You thanks for all the great gifts that You give from heaven. We ask it all in Your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, God gives us many ways to understand him. One of the greatest ways he gives us is, in fact, marriage. Marriage is the joining of two into one flesh. It is a picture from Ephesians 5 of Jesus Christ and his church, a source of joy through fellowship in a very intimate way, as we share joys, concerns, hopes, and dreams. Now, why do I say that? We are the bride of Christ. Are we not? The church is the bride of Christ. If we're the bride of Christ, we should approach him as a bride would approach her loving husband. We will see a proper approach brings great joy. An improper approach brings great pain. Now make no mistake, Jesus Christ is the immortal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is someone that we can never consider ourselves equal with. He is someone who is far above us. We approach him as sinners, saved by grace. We are not to approach him with too much familiarity. He is not to be brought down to our level. He is not to be trivialized. Prayer is a very serious exercise that must be approached with reverence. Now we see marriage as a pattern of how to communicate with a loving partner. We're not to compare God as equals, but we look at these verses as a foundation of how to understand how to approach God, what he wants from us, what he wants to share with us, how he wants us to communicate with him. Let us see the joy of proper communication and the pain of too much self-focus. When these verses, when we look at prayer, we need to see four things. We need to have the right audience, the right motive, the right delivery, and the right method. So the audience, who is the audience of prayer? When we pray, what do? Dear Heavenly Father, we see what the audience is supposed to be. Not other people. It's not God. We're not praying to God to get men's praise. We're praying to God to honor God and to receive from God, to understand God. Jesus here in this first verse, in verse 8, talks about people who do not love God. They love to pray. They love to hear the sound of their own voice. Being seen as someone who prays that they may obtain man's praise, but not God's favor. The rabbis love to pray. They love to be called holy. They love to be seen as people who love God. They didn't love God, but they want to be seen as people who love God. Praised for their uprightness. Praised for their dedication. They set up laws to stop and pray at specific times. Now, to appear holy, that's nothing bad. If I want to pray at 3 o'clock every day, that wouldn't be a bad thing. But what they would do with that, if I'm praying, I want to pray at 3 o'clock every afternoon, I would make sure that I was in my office praying to God that I might have a private conversation with him. What they would do, it's 2:55. Where's the busiest street? I got to get out to the busiest street. I got 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. Okay, I'm here. This is the busiest corner. Oh, man, I got to stop and pray. And they would make sure that they were praying in the very busiest part of the whole town. So people would say, look, that's a holy man praying. No. If they happened to be there, that's one thing. But they would make sure that they were at that point, that they could receive the praise of men. That's why he said they have their reward. Matthew 15, 7 through 8 talks about these. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, in Matthew 23, we've talked in the past about when Jesus uses repetition. Pay attention. In Matthew chapter 23, he calls the Pharisees hypocrites 8 times. That's not something I want to hear Jesus talk about me about. 8 times. Well, they were like today's televangelists, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They looked good. They sounded good. They were well-practiced. They used the right words. They just looked like people who had it all together. Standing in the synagogues, they stood in a position of authority. Now, he says standing in the synagogues. I just prayed standing up, did I not? Now, Bill prayed standing up. Mo prayed standing up. When I close the sermon, I will pray once again standing up. So what does he mean, standing in the synagogues? He's not talking about just standing. He's talking about standing in a position of authority where he's looking down on people. We can stand. There's nothing wrong with standing and praying, but you still do so in a reverent manner, bowing your head, showing that you are praying to someone far above you. They stood as supervisors. We see the hypocrisy of those who should know better. Turn to Matthew chapter 23, verses 4 through 13. Talking about, once again, about Pharisees. They'd be talking about a pastor if a pastor was to live this way. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. They have their rewards. By praying, by wanting to be seen, by enlarging their phylacteries, by looking like holy men, they have their reward. Men look at them, they praise them. God is not impressed. They don't have the reward in heaven. And they will stop people from entering because they do not bring the truth of this gospel. They pray to be praised by themselves. They seek their own glory, not God's. Now, in our marriage example, these would be like people, like husbands, proclaiming how wonderful they are as husbands. By doing so, they might even be asked for advice of how to be a better husband. But they never devote time to their wives. They never tell their wives, I love you. That man might have praised the world, but they will miss the joy of a responding wife. Do not be a hypocrite. Come to your Heavenly Father as an obedient, humble son. Come to Him in private. Come to Him sharing your needs, your weaknesses, your desires. Let Him lift you up. Don't worry about being praised by men. I don't want the praise of men. I want the praise of God. So, we have the right audience. The right audience is God, not other people. We also have to have the right motive in prayer. See the right motives in prayer? We need to be alone with God, with intimate conversation, sharing everything that's on our heart. That's what He wants to hear. You know, I'm in the jail. I try to get people to pray just to get practice. They're scared to death. You know, I hear you pray. You're so good. I can't do that. God doesn't care. He doesn't care about perfect grammar. He doesn't care about perfect form. He cares about you coming to Him with a humble heart, laying your cares on Him with that humble heart, praising Him. That's what He wants. He wants a focus to glorify, enjoy fellowship, and receive from Him as we share those closest thoughts with Him. And we want no disturbances from others. Now, if I'm in a prayer closet, I don't want someone to come tap my shoulder. I'm alone with God. Come talk to me later. Just as a spouse wants our undivided attention at times, our God wants our undivided attention, and we need it. Jesus Himself showed us how to pray. He often went away from the crowds to pray. Very early in His ministry, in Mark 1:35, it says this, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." He was alone. He wanted to be alone with God, His Father. We should want to be the same thing. We are adopted sons of God. We should want to be alone with our Heavenly Father. Peter himself was praying alone on a housetop when God sent him the vision of the unclean foods to teach him that the Gentiles were about to be accepted. It's important to have alone time with God. It's important to get away from the cares of the world every now and then. Able to pour out your praise, your petitions, your proclamation of His power. If you're praying like the hypocrites, just to be seen, you will never learn, you will never receive, and you will never have that abundant life that He promises. Make time to be with God. Do so, your joy will be increased as He blesses you. Now, coming to Him shows humility in front of Him, showing your need to be in His presence, showing your need to receive of Him because you can't do it on your own, showing you cannot live without His blessing. When God sees you praying in private, it says He rewards you openly. Why does He reward you openly? Well, He does so in several ways. First of all, with answered prayer. Luke 11:9 says this, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Answer prayer, also with comfort. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Mary sometimes doubts that with me, but that's a different story. He lifts us up with joy. John 16:24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." He wants to see our joy full. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to do these things. We come to him in the right attitude, he will. And in strength. Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So you come to God, think about that. He already indwells you. He already knows you better than you know yourself. He is willing and able to use that power to bring forth what you desire and what you need to serve him. But you have to humble yourself to make sure that you know that he is the one giving it to you. Get alone and humble yourself, and he will lift you up in his time. 1 Peter 5:6 says this, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Just think about that for a second. Exalted by God. He is lifting you up. Can anybody else do that? Can anybody else give you the exaltation that God can? We look for the praise of men. Why? God created those people, and he's willing to lift us up if we come to him. That is what we need to remember. So the next thing is the proper delivery. Mary needs me to tell her every now and then that I love her. What does she want? She wants it to be a single time with a very heartfelt attitude with my full focus on her. Not saying it 100 times in a row as fast as I can just to prove that I can get through it and show that I love her. Is that how you want it? No, I didn't think so. That's how many of us pray, though. We need to come to God with feeling, with our heart, not to say the same thing over and over again just so we think that he'll hear us. Spurgeon said this, "True prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A simple groan before God may have more fullness of prayer than a fine oration of great length." This is the one area, one of the very few areas where quality is more important than quantity. Now, heathens often use vain repetitions. Baal worshippers constantly use the same word over and over and over again. When Baal worshippers were against Elijah, trying to figure out whose offering would be accepted, Baal worshippers went first. And in 1 Kings 18:26, the prophets of Baal constantly said, "O Baal, hear us." They did so constantly from morning until noon. Baal didn't hear them. They kept saying it over and over again, thinking Baal would hear them. Baal never did. He never heard. Now, listen to the prayer that Elijah gave in 1 Kings 18:37. Now, remember, this is after he had watered everything several times. He put extra rocks, everything. He made it next to impossible to have that offering accepted. And then he made this prayer. "Hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord and that thou hast turned their heart back again." That was the extent of his prayer. God responded in a very short prayer, a very focused prayer, and sent fire to lick up every single piece of that that altar. The rocks were taken away. That's how much God honored that prayer. It wasn't a long prayer at all. It was a prayer that needed to be said, and it was all that needed to be said. God wants thoughtful prayers over long prayers. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says this, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." Now, repetition, make no mistake, repetition by itself is not wrong. Jesus in Matthew 26:44 was seen when at Garden of Gethsemane, and it says this, "And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." So repetition by itself is not a problem. It's vain repetition that's the problem. Vain means empty. Vain means without feeling. Vain means without emotion. Vain is worthless. Saying the same thing over and over and over again just to hear yourself talk. The problem is vain words. Vain words are a lack of faith leading to a lack of thoughtful words. Or vain words are demanding words. The Jews said, he who multiplies words must be heard. So if I say very, very long prayers, and I have God in my audience, he has to listen to me because I speak so much. Who's sovereign at that point? If you believe that, you are sovereign, not God. Therefore, you're using vain words to try to force God to do something. God's not forced to do anything. He's the one sovereign. Also, vain words would be liking Facebook posts, thinking that God will respond. How many of you have seen all those prayers on Facebook? If I hit like, I'm not going to receive great blessings. It's not going to happen. But there are many people who believe it will. Long prayers are not necessarily the problem. Back up a little bit. The problem also is vain repetitions and actions, thinking they're the same as words. Heathens use prayer wheels. Any of you know Tibet, the people out there? They spin a prayer wheel every now and then, thinking those are going to send things up to heaven. Not going to happen. Put a fan on it, maybe it'll cool someone off, but that's the best that you could expect out of that. What do Catholics do? Have you seen the rosary beads? Keep saying the same things over and over again with the rosary beads. That's an action. It's not going to happen. Not going to get anything done that way because you're not using thoughtful words to approach a holy God. Once again, long prayers are not the problem. Luke 6:12 shows that Jesus prayed all night long. That's a long prayer, isn't it? You pray as long as you need to in order to come to a conclusion. Once you have reached what you need to pray about, then you finish. You don't repeat the same thing over and over and over again. That is a thing. When we say short prayer, we don't mean short prayer in length. We mean short prayer meaning say what you need to say and then you're done. You're not informing God of anything. God already knows what you need. You wouldn't just keep repeating the same words over and over again to your wife. If I try to want something and I keep saying over and over again to Mary, she's going to get rather annoyed at me. Don't do it with God. It shows lack of faith, either in his ability to answer or in his ability to understand what you already need. So the final thing, the method of prayer. Next week, we'll see a proper pattern for a standard personal prayer. Again, there's many different kinds of prayers. This is the foundation of what God wants us when we do pray. We need to understand that God knows what we need even before we ask. He indwells us. He created us. He understands everything about us. He understands me far better than I understand myself. That way, I need to go to him to understand how to align myself with God. He will answer to make your joy complete, providing the things you need to accomplish your call, increasing your faith in him by his answers, and giving you guidance as you respond to him in faith. Prayer is not to inform God, once again. He already knows everything. He wants you to come to him that you may humble your heart for him. He knows your heart, your needs, your strengths, your weaknesses. He has you to pray to humble your hearts, excite your desire in him, inflame your faith, animate your hope, and refresh your soul, putting you in mind that he is God and he is our Heavenly Father, and we approach him as a small child. Now, Romans 8:15 tells us to come to him as Abba Father, as a matter of fact. Our address should be, just like a child comes to a father, natural, unaffected by the cares of this world, as we trust in him for all we need. Now, right now, we have the problems in North Korea. We have problems all over the place. We have all these crazy things happening with the Russia investigation. All kinds of crazy things in the news causing us all kinds of problems. Does a six-year-old child care anything about that? Six-year-old child wants a bike. What does he do? He comes to his father and asks for a bike. He's not concerned about the cares of this world. My father's going to handle all that. I want my bike. So he comes and asks for a bike once. Father will give him a bike when the right time. If he comes and says 100 times, I want a bike, the father's going to tell him to get lost. So what happens if a kid's hurting a little bit? Comes in and says, my head hurts. Can you help me? Again, that's how we should approach God. You know, we have a very young crowd here with no aches and pains, right? No? If we have aches and pains, nothing wrong. Going to God and says, Lord, my arm's hurting today. Can you help me? Lord, my arm hurts. Fix it. Lord, please, please, my arm hurts so bad. Can you fix it? You're showing that you're trying to inform him. He already knows your arm hurts. Lord, I have a concern here. I need to work today. Can you help me in that pain? That's all you need to say. His answers will give us joy when he answers us. No, I pray my arm stops hurting. It stops hurting. Whoa, he just answered my prayer. That gives you joy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to focus that. If he just made your arm stop, you wouldn't know it was from God, would you? You wouldn't have joy. You'd think it was yourself doing it. So, as we look at all this, as we look at the different kinds of prayers, as we look at the pattern of prayer next week, we need to realize something. What is prayer? Prayer is nothing more than talking to your Heavenly Father. It is conversing with your Heavenly Father. It is not informing Him. It is sharing with Him. To be sure, you're talking to the immortal, eternal, almighty, sovereign, creator God of the universe. Make no mistake on that. So our talk is reverent. Our talk is understanding who He is. But it is still a conversation. We don't come to Him lightly, but we come to a God that desires to have a full devotion and thanks and praise for what He gives to us. Coming to Him to please Him and not please man. Let us make sure our conversation is one that understands He knows what we want and what we need. And He knows our heart. And we don't need to give Him many words because He already knows what it is. He wants us to come humbly, in love, in devotion to Him. Foundation of prayer realizes that we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us if we're saved. He desires our fellowship. He desires our worship. We're in a Laodicean age right now. We're in an age where the church has gone very lukewarm. God is spewing the church out of His mouth. And yet, in Revelation 3:20, He says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with Me." Showing He desires our fellowship. He desires us to come to Him. He desires to have communion with us as He teaches us, guides us, directs us, provides for us, and prepares us for heaven. Now, you would not speak to your spouse the way most people speak with God. We work to properly communicate with our spouse, wanting to please them. I do want to please you, trust me. Wanting to please them, wanting to be with them, wanting to talk with them, wanting to share your life with them. The closeness that God gives us with a husband and wife is a picture of the closeness of Jesus Christ and His church. It's a picture of how He wants us to approach Him with reverence, with understanding who He is, but with that closeness and that intimate speak. Christ's Spirit indwells us, making us one with the Godhead as by His grace, even as He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are one flesh with our spouse. Let us at least show as much care and speaking with our Heavenly Father as we do with our spouse. Let us at least put as much effort into that. Pray privately and in secret to the God who calls you to His throne of grace, giving Him your full attention, your full devotion, your full worship. Pray thoughtful words, understanding God knows what you need before you even ask. But you're asking to show that He is the source of any good thing, any gift. He is the source of any blessing. Humbling yourself and showing you depend on Him. Be thankful that God accepts you and calls you to His throne of grace. Let your joy be full. I don't take near as much advantage as I should. None of us do. Let us take more advantage to come back to God. Seek what you will from Him and praise Him and give thanks and honor Him in all ways. With that, as we go on this world, we get away from God too much. Let us realize we need to come home to Him and speak to Him often. So turn in your hymnals to hymn number 296, and we'll sing, "Lord, I'm Coming Home." We have a God who cares about us. We have a God who wants to hear about our concerns. We have a God who wants to bless us in so many ways. That verse 4, "My soul is sick, my heart is sore." Well, if we come to Him, that second stanza will say, "My strength renew, my hope restore." He wants us to come to Him. If you are feeling down, if you are having pain, if you are just curious, why are things happening? He wants to hear from you. He will give you the strength. He will give you that peace that passeth all understanding. Think about that term, peace that passeth all understanding. It means we can't understand it. He will give us the comfort to get through whatever we need. He will allow us to have that joy that He wants to give us. But you have to come to His throne of grace. You have to come to pray to Him. That way we're showing Him we are humbling ourselves in front of that almighty, holy God. So if you've been missing that opportunity, I beg you, start doing it. I beg you, come to Him. Share with Him. Praise Him. And He will give you those blessings that you need. If you keep your focus on Him, you'll hold that joy. And if you do that and you start straying, you'll realize it because you've lost that habit and you'll come back to Him then. If anyone here is not saved, never had that opportunity, can't come home because you've never been home, then today the day that you need to be saved. Make the day you come to Jesus Christ. Make the day that you have the opportunity to receive his gift of his death on the cross to pay for your sins. And then you can come home and have that joy I've been talking about. So as we go to prayer, ask God to give you that joy. Ask God to renew in your heart a desire to be with him. Ask God to give you that joy, that comfort. And then commit to God that you will come and pray to him. That way, this church will have joy, because everyone in this church will have joy. And then I'll close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, often I am a stiff-necked, foolish person. I don't come to that throne of grace. I don't make that sweet hour prayer. I don't do the things I need to do to receive the joy that you want to give me. And Lord, all of us have that problem. All of us have the idea of wanting to do things our way. And Lord, we forfeit so much joy by doing so. Give this church a desire to return to that prayer closet. Give this church a desire to return to that close, intimate prayer, that you may bless this church, that you may bless each individual person in this church, and allow us to see you working through our lives. Allow us to have that joy of knowing that the Almighty Creator, eternal God of the universe, actually wants to hear from us, actually wants to hear our praise, actually wants to answer our prayers to give us joy. And Lord, that should excite us more than anything else in the world. And Lord, as we do so, as we receive your joy, let us show that joy to this world, this lost and dying world that has no hope, has no joy. And have them wonder what it is about us that's different. And then give them the answer of what they need to do. They come to you to receive the free gift of the blood of Christ shed on the cross for them, and they may have that same joy. And Lord, let us come to your throne of grace often, humbling ourselves in front of you, realizing that you have done what it takes for us to be children of the Most High God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ, and go out into this world with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. We ask all of us in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.